Well, praise the Lord. Let's go fishing. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Fishers of men, fishers of men. That's what we learned last week. And we're going to learn a little bit more about what that means this week. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at all these symbols up here. Our theme for the children's camp was light the fire. And we have fire on the curtain wings here, but the fire seems to have gone out now that camp is over. So we'll have to pray that they light the fire. But I want you to know what all these symbols mean here, because all the children were given wristbands. I've got mine on here that have these symbols on them. And then what they mean, Jesus came. That's what this arrow down. He died. He rose again. And then he ascended, the arrow going up, and he's coming again, the arrow going down. So all those symbols are on the wristband, and it says, he came, he died, he arose, he ascended, he's coming back. So I'm telling you, the children learned an entire chapter in the Bible, Psalms 23, as they learned it day after day and quoted it with motions. And I really believe there was an impartation of something that is going to stick. And that's what we're praying for. Guys, if you give me my PowerPoint, I want to get into this lesson. I brought my toolbox and my favorite fishing pole. Don't be distracted by its wear and tear. This thing will cast a country mile. I'm telling you, this pole here has caught many fish under my hands. And I was going to clean up this tackle box, but last night my family said, no, Dad, don't clean it up. It's dirty on the outside. It's pristine clean on the inside. Let me tell you, everything that I could ever need is in this tackle box for when I go fishing. But most importantly, stringers. Because I'm expecting to catch fish. You ever gone fishing and didn't have a stringer to put the fish on? Hello? But I think a tackle box for a fisherman is kind of like a woman's purse. You know, it's heavy. It's got everything in it. Come on, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. Jeanette says, my tackle box is more organized than her purse. But anytime I need something like a fingernail clipper or a chapstick or, you know, honey, she's got it. Honey, you've got it. Amazing. So it's heavy as sin, her purse. I'm telling you, it's got lead in it or something. All these electronics now. I tell you what, we're talking about the new normal, and I want to talk to you today about fishing for men. Now, you know I do a lot of preaching and teaching on soul winning, and I'm not going to give you my seven steps. I mean, that gets more particular, but I want to give you more of a vision for what it means to be a fisher of men. You know, when Jesus said, I'll make you fishermen, fishers of men, you know, you would have thought that he would have gone to the seminary or, you know, to the synagogue to find disciples. But instead, he went to the seashore, to the shores on the Sea of Galilee. And remember last week, we talked about the call that God gave to Peter. He said, Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You will catch men. Wow, what does that mean? Well, there's a lot of symbolism in fishing that we can help us understand how to be soul winners, how to let our faith shine to others. And I think I am qualified to speak on that issue because I have gone fishing hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times. Now, most of my fishing experience was up at Strawberry Lake, our Christian retreat up on Strawberry Lake in northern Minnesota, freshwater lake, and gone up there every year for like 53 years from a little boy. and fishing on Strawberry Lake. Here it is in the morning, and this is my picture of sitting every morning on my lakeside cabin. We have a lot of cabins where people can stay there for their for coming for the conferences. And with my Bible and my coffee and looking at a lake that in the morning it's just peaceful, you know, like glass. But in the afternoon, there's boats, there's kids fishing and playing and swimming and a lot going on. And it's just a beautiful place for people to come and receive from the Lord. But here's a rare picture. My dad and I going fishing. We just returned from fishing. And here's a really rare picture. My dad actually relaxing with a fishing pole. Imagine that. Now, I know nobody else has got a picture like that, but only my dad, because he would take me fishing. Now, that's a northern pike, and this lake is so full of them that, I mean, you can catch them almost nonstop there. And there's a limit, you know, but you just throw back the smaller ones and bring home the bigger ones. But they're all going to be about that size. It's amazing. So here's Stephen and I some years ago. Now you can see Stephen in the middle there, my son that was up here on the guitar. We took this little group fishing for the first time and came back with that stringer full of fish. There's Stephen, you know, without the hair, the long hair, without the beard. Yeah, you had to get one of those, Aaron, because you want to put that in his face. He doesn't know I'm showing these pictures yet. He'll probably get it in the second service. And here's Woody Clark's two daughters here, if you know them, Linda and Mary. I took them fishing for the first time. Here's Mary, the first time she got her hands, and she pulled in that fish. I said, now you got to hold it up for the picture. And she grabbed it, and it's slimy and smelly and wobbling around. Look at that face. She finally got a firm grip on it. Yeah, look at that. She was proud of that. Big old northern pike there. Well, here's Stephen, just to show you that they're not all big. He actually snagged that one on a daredevil. Imagine that. Look at that face. But most of the kids there, they fish off the dock and they catch sunfish and crappie and bluegill, perch, just nonstop right from the dock by dropping in a hook with a little piece of breadcrumb, or they put a piece of corn on there. Put about anything on there, and they'll bite on it. This little boy, he was real discouraged about this little perch that he caught. So I said, here, give it to me. I said, you got to hold it closer to the camera, and then it looks big. You know, it's so little. I put it right up to the camera and took a picture of it, and he was pleased to see the picture later. But yeah, that's fun. Now we're in the Gulf of Mexico. And some of you know these people. There's Tom Scott and Ron Baza, myself there, and Pastor Tom Meeker. And this was a miracle catch. Every time I go fishing, I have the favor of God and I have miracle catches. But we took a charter boat out in the Gulf of Mexico, and the people there that they find the fish for you, you know, because you're paying for all this. And they said they never catch these fish. This is what's called the poor man's lobster. It's a real white, sweet meat. They're called hubcaps because they're real shiny hubcaps. And he said, if we ever catch these, we might catch one in the whole boat for the whole day. We caught more than this. We all caught one of these, and it was just the favor of God. But on that day, Gary Parks, you'll be glad to know, God blessed me with the largest catch. Look at this grouper. Look at this grouper. Gotta love that. Yeah, and I'm a country boy. I don't catch and release. We catch and eat. We catch and fillet. Yeah, okay, now back to our message, okay? But I just had to let you know I'm authorized to teach on fishing. Yes, and so I've got my fishing vest on here. And by the way, did we get those knives in yet? We're going to give you a little signature gift, all the men, in the house here today as my assistant went to get them. And these six function knives, they've got a screwdriver, Phillips head. They got a corkscrew. Well, we don't want you to be pulling too many of those corks now out there fishing, but got a flathead screwdriver and can opener. You know, got to have a knife. This is a tool for fishing. You got to have a knife when you go fishing, but this one, praise God, even clips on your belt or on your vest, so it's handy. How about that? Yeah, got to love that. So we couldn't have the children pass those out. But look at this. We'll pass those out in a moment. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers or the fishers are few. Why is that? Because fishing isn't pretty. You know, you don't dress up to go fishing. You dress down. You expect to get your hands messy, you slimy. But you got to catch them before you clean them. Come on, somebody. You know, I'm so fed up with church people that get so caught up on the outward appearance. You know, somebody comes into church, you know, and they're not dressed, you know, properly for church. Boy, you better get over it, because the Bible says pretty clearly, man looks on the outside appearance, but God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. Let me tell you, if these kids are coming to church with all those piercings all over, or with their hair different colors, yeah, I'm just glad they're in church. And if your child comes home with a tattoo, before you get all upset, you better take a look at it. It might say, I love my dad. Then what are you going to do? You know what I mean? My son better not come home with one, right? But here, I want to give you a picture here of how to fish. And I want to help you understand that as we live our lives before men as the light of the world, we're literally fishing. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And all you need is a hook, a line, and a sinker. You don't even need a fishing pole. I proved that one time when we took the whole church fishing. We went out on the pier and rented the pier to go fishing. And I'd given out all my fishing poles to everybody, and I ended up with a little Tweety Bird fishing pole, you know, for a kid. And I snagged a big one. Greg, you're going to love this. You know, you know what it's like to be out on the water. I'm out on the end of this pier. I hang a big one, Gary, and it snaps the rod. You know, this little Tweety Bird. I mean, the little kid things that you buy in the toy store. You know, it snapped the rod, so I had to grab the line and pull that fish in, and discovered that all I needed was a hook, a line, and a sinker. And by the way, you know what it was? It was a flounder that I caught, and that thing was just laying out flat, and I'm pulling it in, fighting, and it's a beautiful fish. Okay, what is the hook? Jesus is the hook. You know, you can't bring anybody to faith without Jesus. There's no other way to salvation than Jesus. The thing about a hook that makes it effective for catching fish, it's got that little barb. When you hook somebody with Jesus, you know, they're not going to get away. And the scripture puts it this way in Acts 4 and verse 12. I put it up here. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't let anybody fool you by saying, well, there's a lot of ways to heaven. You know, there's a lot of good churches. No, if they're not preaching Jesus for salvation, you know, Jesus is the hook. Any other way, people are going to lose their faith without Jesus. But Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the hook. What about the line? The line is your talk, your conversation. You ever heard of, he talks a good line? Okay, well, you got to open your mouth. You got to preach the gospel. Now, there's all different kinds of lines. There's different sizes. They actually come in different poundages to catch different size fish. And so don't worry about it. You don't have to be a good speaker. The Bible says, though, how will they hear without a preacher? Now, I say you don't have to be a pulpit-pounding preacher, but the word is actually to declare, to say something. Your neighbor, I like to say this, who sees you go to church every Sunday, drive out of your driveway, he'll go to hell unless you have the opportunity one day to speak something to him about salvation, about Christ. So you got to have a hook. We know that's Jesus. You got to have a line. What is the sinker? Well, the sinker is your testimony. Your testimony. You know what a sinker does? And there's different sizes and shapes of sinkers. But your sinker gets the bait and the hook down to where the fish are. Your testimony is the most relevant, real, authentic sermon that you can ever preach. You know, most people don't want to hear about your church. They don't want to hear about your doctrine. But they are interested if God's done something for you, if God's healed you, God delivered you, set you free. They do want to know about that. That's your testimony. Your testimony is a powerful tool in the hands of God. And many times, God will put, by a divine appointment, the right person in front of you that can really relate to you. You know, for instance, if you are actually a fisherman, he might put somebody in front of you and an opportunity, a perfect opportunity, that loves fishing. And all of a sudden, you discover that and you have an opportunity to share your testimony. Start by talking about fishing. And then talk about the miracles that God's given you in fishing. Let me tell you a miracle that people still don't believe. We live on the river, just a mile up the river here. And so sometimes I just take my pole and I stand on the bank and I throw out something. Like if we had chicken or something, I'd take a little piece of raw chicken and go out my backyard and catch a catfish, you know. But this particular day, I was sitting out there. I dropped my bait down to the bottom and just waiting. And I can't wait very long. I'm a real impatient fisherman. And so I was about ready to go in. And then all of a sudden, a mullet jumped in front of me. And it jumped once. It jumped twice. And it was coming towards me. And I thought, just like that, if that fish jumps again, it's going to be so close. I reached back, grabbed my dip net, and stuck it out there, and he jumped right in it. Now, that's a fish story. Favor of God, blessed of God. And I marched that thing up, and I fried it up while it's still kicking, almost. You know what I mean? I mean, you can only eat catfish when it's fresh, right? I've heard that. But let me tell you, you've got a testimony that will connect you to people, not necessarily fishing. It could be yachting, okay? It could be something else, totally, something you have experience with, but that will connect you to people. Here's the scripture on this one, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to give an answer. Let's talk about tying on the hook. Tying on the hook. Now, you got to know how to do a fisherman's knot. Any fishermen out there, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'll tell you, one of the most disappointing things is if you tie on a hook and you're pulling in a fish, you get your line back, and you discover at the end of the line, just a little curly part, you know, it pulled out of the hook. Well, you didn't tie it on right because there's a fisherman's knot here, and you got to tie on Jesus properly. You want the faith. Remember, Jesus is the hook. If you don't tie him on properly, if you're not living right for God, don't expect that you're going to land the big fish, okay? You run that line through the loop and the hook there. Take it back and twist it around a few times. You need a little experience with God. You got to be around the block a few times and then you stick it back in the loop of the line and then pull it tight. You know what it creates? It creates a knot that the harder you pull, the tighter it gets. And it's not going anywhere. Anyway, that's maybe too deep for this audience today. But I'm just teaching you a little bit of what I know. Baiting the hook. You got to bait the hook properly. Hey, guess what? You're the bait. Jesus isn't going to do it alone. You're the bait. The thing you got to ask yourself is, am I live bait, artificial bait, or cut bait? And fishermen in the house, what works best? Live bait. You better believe it. And you got to put that minnow or that shrimp on the hook to where it looks live to the fish, because they can tell the difference. And so can the world tell the difference if we're artificial, if we're fake, if you're just trying to be religious. They can tell, and they dismiss that. You want to be live. You want to be real. You know, I just passed the girl on the curb, what used to be the curb, at the light now on Upper Manatee River Road. That's Dawn. We know her now by name, who holds the sign. I mean, that's live bait right there. You know, I mean, she's looking everybody in the eye. She's waving at you and smiling as you go by. She's hired by somebody. I don't even know what she's advertising. But I know her name, and I know I roll my window. Hi, Dawn. You know, I mean, she's like my close friend, and we've never met. She's live bait. You know, my dad, he was live bait. He was out fishing this week. He'll be in the next service. I'll have him tell the story. But he called me Friday, all excited. He said, Phil, you know what? He said, I got the lady, Shannon, who we know, at Wells Fargo saved today. I said, Dad, you were out fishing. And he got her a Bible. She's Catholic. She'd never read a Bible in her life, never owned a Bible in her life. He gave her one of our partner Bibles and gave her his testimony book. And, you know, I know Shannon. She's one of the main executives there. You don't see her at the teller window. You see her at the desk. She got saved this week because my dad was out fishing. He was live bait. What's artificial bait? Well, it's just people religious with no passion, no testimony, no love, no real relationship with God. That's artificial. What's cut bait? Complainers. People with Christians with a victim mentality. Just everything's always going wrong. Listen, fish don't want to hear that. Fish don't buy into that. Cut bait, you know, it's something you can use if you got to, but I tell you what, live bait is the best. And you're the bait on the hook that's Jesus. The message of Jesus needs you. Here's what I want you to understand. James 1, verse 22, read it with me. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. How to fish. Okay, let me quickly give you some fishing tips. Number one, don't fish alone. It's no fun. You catch that big fish and you have nobody to prove it. I tell you what, one of the most recent times my son Stephen and I were fishing out in Strawberry Lake. Gary, I caught the largest northern pike that I'd ever caught, that I'd ever seen. And that thing, you know, I'm not stretching it. It was, well, maybe I'm getting a little bigger now, but it was big. And I got it into the boat, and it popped off the hook, and it was flopping around the boat. And my son Stephen was even afraid because these big old jaws, you know, were snapping. We're trying to get a hold of that thing. We put that thing on a stringer with some other fish, and it was so active, it broke the stringer and took all of our fish and himself down to the bottom of the lake, unfortunately, you know, to their own death because they were all locked into this stringer. But literally, so I couldn't bring it back to brag on the size of that thing. But I had somebody there to prove it, my son, Stephen. But anyway, no, Jesus always sent the disciples two by two. You are bolder when you're there with somebody else of faith. And also there's accountability in going out. I'm talking about fishing, soul winning, talking to people out in the marketplace. And practice makes perfect. Listen, you have to go fishing. You can't just think about it. You have to get up in the morning and say, you know, I've got some shopping to do today, but I think I'm going to go fishing too on this shopping trip. You know, you got to get your bait in the water. We're not just boating around. You know, I take kids out fishing sometimes, and sometimes they get bored, they get tired. And so I look around, and there they got their line rolled up and their pole on the side of the boat, and they're just sitting there. And I go, what? Get your bait in the water. You can't catch a fish. We're not just boating here today. You know, get that line in the water, you know. So think about your faith that way. Listen, you got saved. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. But now you want to be about the Father's business. Amen. You want to please the Father. Get your bait. Get your testimony. Get your hook in the water. Baiting the hook. Make it look natural. Be yourself. Different types of rods and reels. God uses everybody. He'll use you just the way you are. Your tackle box, it represents your preparation. Be prepared in, you know, with the Word of God. Be expectant that you're going to catch a fish. Bring a stringer in your mind. Say, you know what? Today I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus. And you know what? If you go with that expectation, God's going to put somebody in your path. And you're going to have a great day. Cleaning the fish. Listen, I've always said ministry is messy. Don't expect it to be clean and pristine and everything to go right. But you know what? God is pleased when you catch a fish. You know, with thinking when I was mentioning earlier about don't judge people when they come to church and, you know, not just dressed right or looking right. I'll never forget, some of you remember Johnny Barnes. He was one of our elders. He's in heaven today. But I remember when a young person came to this church and dressed in a very short skirt. And this young lady, she came all the way to the front row, sat in the front row with one of our other young people that was here. And, you know, when she sat down, that skirt even got higher. And I noticed it because where I sit and others in the front noticed it. And dear Johnny Barnes, he didn't go and talk to her or tell her she wasn't dressed appropriately. He went over and got one of our covers that we put on people when they are slain in the spirit here at the altar. He went and without saying a word to her, he just draped it over her legs and walked back to his seat. And, you know, it was well done. Well done, you know. And she understood, and the girl, one of our own that was with her, understood, but without any word spoken. Hallelujah. I want us to be that kind of church, that we don't make people feel uncomfortable no matter how you dress, how you wear your hair. So where to fish? Go into all the world. You got to go to where the fish are. Right? You're not going to go fishing in a blow-up kiddie pool. You know there's no fish there. You go out. Go ye into all the world, Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men. It's amazing that light attracts fish. Light attracts fish. Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, be fishers of men, your light. I mean, you can shine a light down beside your boat and it attracts fish amazingly. Jesus said in John 21:6, cast the net on the right side. You know what that means to me? You got to live right for God. People know the difference. People aren't attracted to a hypocrite. We're going to let our light shine by living Christ-like and people notice. When to fish? Well, Jesus said the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. Hallelujah. I tell you what, let's get some help here. Carlos, you're handy and you're a father. Help Janelle, and you're going to pass out the little Father's Day gifts. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but I want you to hold it in your hand. This is a quality tool, and we're talking about tools for fishing for men here today. So Jesus said, you know how to judge time when it comes to farming, but I want you to know the fields are ripe for harvest. And then he said, Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, today, now is the day of salvation. And I want to say, I've said before, I've been saying all year, because the days are evil, because the days are dark. And so I want you, these to go to all the men, all the adult men, whether you're a father or not. They're just probably not the right toy for a child. So, but you decide. Get it in your hand. I think it's got our website on it, right? And you can download the app. Okay. Boy, that shouldn't have fell off into the water like it did. Let me give you a couple other scriptures, and then I'm going to wrap this up and pray for the fathers, pray for the men here. Why should I fish? He's like, I don't want to go fishing because Jesus said, it's my food. You'll be surprised at how energetic it makes you, how exciting it is. He said, amen, it's my nourishment. It keeps me going. It gives me life. When you lead someone to Christ, like my father did on Friday, he called me, you know, he was excited about it because it fulfills something that God put in you. And so be prepared to do something. To obey is better than sacrifice. I mean, when we're doing the sacrifice of praise in here, when we're honoring God through prayers, Bible study, and that sort of thing. But obedience, go ye into all the world. That's obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. And it's actually that motion. Fishing for men is God's business. And it's that motion of seeking God. I'm going to close on this verse here. I think every Father's Day, I bring this to your attention. 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though ye have 10,000 of instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Apostle Paul said, in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. So I beseech ye, be followers of me. A father leads by example. He doesn't just say, do as I say, but he says, do as I do. Follow me as I follow Christ. Fathers, I want to tell you today, more than ever, our children and our wives need to see Jesus in us. They need to see Jesus in us. Don't think that you're called of God to be the boss of your home. God will judge you for that. What he's called you is to be the servant, to be the servant priest of your home. 1 Peter 3:7 says, give honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, so that your prayers won't be hindered. Your prayers can be hindered if you're not honoring and loving your wife. And when the Bible calls us the priests of the home, I like to say that doesn't mean you're the preacher of the home, but it means you're the prayer of the home. Being the priest, a priest is a mediator between man and God. So you're praying, you're connecting your children and your spouse, your wife, to God. Be that example to your children. They don't care about your job. They don't even know what you do at work. And they don't care about the money that you make. You know what they care about? They care about what kind of daddy you are. What kind of man of God you pray for them. You pray for mommy. That's what they're interested in. And Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. I'm going to pray that God will order your steps today and that you'll set some good, habit patterns today on Father's Day. When you're getting the accolades, I'm going to ask you to do something that you've not done before with respect to your children and your spouse. Maybe hold her a little longer. Maybe kiss her a little deeper. Maybe pray for your children one by one as they give you that card or whatever. Pray for them. Hello. You hearing me out there, dads? Do something that you've never done before and see what God will do for you that you've never received before. And be that father figure. I want all the dads to stand, if you would now. And you know, since we don't have so many in the early service, would you come to the front? Just come on down to the front. And I just want to ask God's favor and blessing upon your life. And I know that everybody is rooting for you. And wow, there's more dads here than I thought. Here, you're just so spread out in the early service. But I love this. Guys, we have leadership in the world today. We really do. Let's use it well. Let's use it wisely. You know, weakness is not, I mean, meekness is not weakness. I always like to say that. Don't confuse my meekness for weakness, because I'll take you down. I actually won't, because I'm going to let God instruct me before I do that, okay? And he probably won't let me. But the thing is, we need more than anything, we need the favor of God, the blessing of God's lives. You know, I'm believing that this is going to be the most amazing year for you in your marriage, in your leadership, among your children, in your job, in your finances. I want the favor of God to be seen upon your life so that people say, now there goes a man that's got it together. You know, I wrote a book. In fact, the co-author of this book that I wrote, it's called Family and Business Matters. I wrote a book on this, and God showed me that order. That order is the key to profit. In a business, in a marriage, to profitability in a marriage, in leadership, order, management, order. That's what I covered in this book. I'm going to pray that God will bring order to your life, that will bring you into order, bring your leadership in your home into order. Raise your hands with me. Worship team, you can play something here. I'm just asking, Lord, for an atmosphere here of expectation. Lord, as I've made these declarations, Lord, and you've put this on my heart, I pray your favor, Lord, to be upon these men of God, your favor, Lord, in their homes, in their marriages, Lord, in their businesses. Lord, if our light is going to shine, people need to see the glory of the Lord. People need to see the favor of God upon our lives. So, Father, put the desire in each of these men that have come forward today for greater things, greater favor upon their lives, and give them the willingness, Lord, to be obedient. Obedience attracts fire. Obedience brings fire. We learned that this week. Father, I pray, let there be order and obedience in these homes. And Lord, just reach down from heaven. Reach up in each heart, Lord, by your Spirit. And Lord, touch these hands, touch these hearts, touch these minds. Lord, bring a divine touch upon our fathers here today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's all say that in Jesus' name. Say it again. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, dads, today somebody's going to greet you with Happy Father's Day, and this is our day. But I'll tell you what, let's rise. Let's rise up. We can be better. We can do better. We can operate in more order in our homes. Amen? Amen? Can you do better? Marcos, can you do better? Amen. Get your arms around your kids. You don't know if this could be the last day you'd have the opportunity. You just don't know. You know, tell your wife you love her. Doesn't go without saying. Look her in the eyes. Kiss her deeply. Make it last a little longer. Surprise her. Throw her down on the bed. No, I'm just really surprise her, okay? Why not? It's Father's Day. We can get away with it. It's Father's Day. And like I preached, for everybody, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Thank you, man. You can go back to your seats. Let's all stand here today.